From lying on the couch eating bonbons to running a marathon, there is a huge spectrum of how intense you can embrace physical activity. And today on the Weekly Walk podcast, Eric and I are going to dig really deep into the importance of recovery days, active recovery, what it can do for your body, what it can do to keep you moving forward, what it can do to reduce injury, all the things. And we will share the 5-3-2 method. So if keeping your body moving well, if getting the most out of your walking practice is important to you, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
I'm really sore.
You're sore?
I'm sore.
You did a pack walk yesterday, right?
I did.
And you think that's adding to your soreness, some of the source of it?
Pack walks don't typically make me sore anymore because my body's pretty well acclimated to it. It might be the 2 days in a row of pickle. So it might be a combination of 3 days of pickleball, 1 day in the gym, and a pack walk.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot. Sounds like you need some recovery time.
What do you mean?
Well.
Shouldn't you just go and go and go and go?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. So recovery is as important as actually putting in the work.
Can I just do the recovery time? Because that sounds super relaxing.
No, it doesn't quite work that way. You have to do the work and then you have to recover. But one of the things we're going to talk about today is recovery does not necessarily mean just laying on the couch and doing nothing. I will say...
Can it include laying on the couch and doing nothing?
It can. And I will say there are sometimes when you actually need to just lay on the couch and do nothing to recover from effort, workout, exercise,
life,
gardening, unloading bags of something. If you're doing yard work, shoveling snow.
You know, we are moving into the season of a lot of yard work, which it's physically challenging.
Yes. So
mulch, bags of moving around the bags of mulch.
Yes. So sometimes you do, but you know, we're pretty active and we like to go and we like to keep moving. So in that regard, you can still recover and be active. And you know what they call that?
What?
Active recovery.
Is that really a thing?
Yes. Active recovery is totally a thing. I didn't make that up.
Yeah. So.
Though I can make up a scale from.
Lying on the couch.
Okay. So we'll call it from bonbons to strolling.
No, it would be like I would go bonbons. You're just doing the active recovery scale. I would do like the active scale, which goes from bonbons to all out.
To a marathon.
Yeah, like okay, right. So if the scale is bonbons, and what we mean by that is lying on the couch eating bonbons, watching reality TV, and maybe
nodding off here and there.
And the top of the scale is a marathon, where is active recovery on the scale?
Well, it's definitely closer to bonbons than marathon.
But assume the scale is like, let's assume that's a 1 to 10 scale. I'm actually not even kidding about this. I think there's some value in having this conversation. So if lying on the couch is at 1.
Is lying on the couch 0 or 1?
Lying on the couch is 0.
Uh-huh.
And whatever your individual top output activity is, so maybe it's a pack walk with a little bit of incline, maybe it's a 2-mile walk, maybe it's a marathon, because everybody's top output and most strenuous activity is completely different, and that's cool. So lying on the couch is 0. Whatever your top output is 10. Where is active recovery in that?
Active recovery is, in my opinion, going to be anywhere from, I would say, about a 2.5 to a 4, maybe even a 5, depending on where you are.
A 5, that's
scale.
A lot. That yeah, seems like a lot.
It also sort of depends what your load is. Are you talking about, you know, the day after you did a peak effort, peak output? Are you talking about, you know, you've been going medium and you're ready for a recovery day? Okay, but I would say in general, let's say 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
I think that's a pretty good range.
Okay.
So, you know, why are we doing active recovery instead of bonbons?
I don't know. When you put it like that, I'm like, I don't think we should. If the option is active recovery or bonbons and reality TV, I think I'm going bonbons.
Well, you actually started this by saying you were sore. And there is plenty of research that shows that active recovery versus bonbon recovery can actually alleviate or ameliorate, lessen your feelings of soreness.
So let me ask a specific question around this. And I'm going to be asking more questions because this truthfully is a world that you know better than I. So is it important to engage in active recovery before the soreness sets in? Or is active recovery a way to reduce the soreness? Do you understand the question?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Both? It helps with both?
Yeah. The answer is both. Like, just as an example, when I do a really hard CrossFit workout, if I go 100%, just afterwards, a light, easy spin on the exercise bike, like, you know, at a 2 or 3%, you know, 3 scale effort, just keep flushing the legs, moving, that's going to help with soreness.
And how long do you have to do that for? I guess we can get into the details of
yeah, in that
how
case,
much.
You know, 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So if, for example, you were running a marathon, it seems bizarre, but continuing for a 10-minute walk would actually be a really good idea. You know, you're probably going to want to collapse in a heap, but going on that light walk, keeping moving, letting your muscles recover and flush out the waste, frankly, that's what's really going on, is going to help soreness later on. And then, I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but even not even necessarily active recovery, but if I'm feeling sore and I go for a walk, a jog, or even go into the gym, once I do that, I don't really feel the soreness. And afterwards, assuming it's not a Herculean effort, I feel like the soreness is definitely lessened. And again, this is the research backs this up.
Well, that also seems like almost a universal truth that if you have aches and pains that are not real injury related, movement seems to always help.
Well, that's like the expression, motion is lotion. So depending on what your active recovery is, like it can be going for an easy walk. Like let's say you walked a 10K. I think that's something that would be a pretty good effort.
How many miles does that remind me?
6.2. I mean, that's a pretty good effort. And the next day, again, you have the option of bonbons, which will probably lead to a little more soreness.
Might be worth it. Bonbons and reality TV, it might be worth a little more soreness after a 10K.
But all you have to do is go for a 15 or 20 minute walk, and you can probably, again, lessen that feeling of soreness. It'll help with your circulation. It'll help your joints. I mean, just emotion is pretty much always good in the right dosage.
So I have many questions.
Okay, ask away.
So when... Do you need active recovery? So you've been putting it a lot in the context of some kind of physical output that's at the upper end of your capacity. But it seems to me that it's also kind of volume over time, meaning if you've been, let's say your typical walk is 2 miles at a pretty good pace and you have walked 5 days in a row. Meaning, like, how do you know when you're ready for active recovery? So let me keep asking it because I feel like I'm asking the question really sloppy. So it seems pretty obvious in the context of this conversation. If you run a marathon the next day, you're not going to run another marathon, right? Max output. When you go to the gym and you give 100%, clearly the next day, you're not giving 100% again. But is there a place for active recovery in our more customary walking routine? Does that make sense?
100%.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to give you, the first is a slightly less realistic answer, and the second is slightly more. So one way to tell whether you need active recovery is to measure your heart rate variability. So there are actually apps that will do this on your phone. It's as simple as holding your finger over the flash or the light on your camera. You download one of these apps, and it will tell you your heart rate variability. Now, the next question, of course, it begs the question, what is heart rate variability?
It also, well, you can keep going, but I recently read some research that says there's not as much to that as, like, that's like a hot button right now in fitness and in elite fitness. There is some research that's like,
All right, well, bear with me because okay. I have a place where I'm going.
Okay.
So
heart rate variability.
Basically what heart rate variability is when your body is in a recovered and relaxed state, your heart is sort of chill, meaning that over the course of time, it may beat at, let's say, 70 beats per minute. It may beat at 65 beats per minute. It may take a little longer. It may go to 72. And it's just going to be really variable because your heart's like, yeah, everything's good, whatever. I'll pump now. Well, I'll pump then. And that means that you are rested and everything's chill. Now, when you get more stressed, your heart is going to be like, oh man, this is stressful. I'm going to beat 65 beats a minute. Boom, boom, boom. Like, and it's not that the heart rate itself necessarily, the average heart rate changes, but it's just the consistency. And when you're stressed, your heart's going to just work a little harder and be like, all right, I got to be on this 65. Something's coming down the pike.
Can I just interrupt you?
Yeah.
And I'm familiar with this, and I think this is really interesting because I think many of our listeners probably are not. But what's so curious to me is it does seem counterintuitive. It would seem to me that a higher heart rate, a higher variability in your heart rate shouldn't be a good thing. It seems like a bad thing.
Yeah, I sort of was using the analogy of being chill.
I think it was a really good analogy.
Yeah.
It still perplexes me a bit.
Perplexing. So if you feel like really diving into it, and when your heart rate variability is not in the good range, you'll know that you need some recovery time. And active recovery certainly will fit the bill.
Does that apply? Does the same kind of analysis apply to people who are not trained as elite athletes? Like, is heart rate variability a valuable test for everybody?
My understanding is that it is, and it will vary depending on the variability will vary depending on the level of training, but the relative variability of each individual's heart rate will vary depending on the amount of stress their body's under and how hard it's working to recover. So, yes.
Do you still test your heart rate variability? You were doing that for a while. Do you still do it?
No. So, the reason I don't do it, And the sort of easier part of this is they've done research on this, and basically, you can measure your need to recover by how much you feel like doing that work. So they've done studies where if people are going into the gym and they're like, I really don't feel like working out today. And a lot of us and a lot of people will push through that. And often it's good. They may not perform at a super high level, but they have tracked that those feelings are very, very close to heart rate variability measurements. So basically, listening to yourself and having a gauge. Now, you may be the type of person who sort of never wants to go for a walk. Like, this is something that you have to push yourself out the door. But I got to imagine that there are some days it's easier to push yourself out the door than others. And maybe if you're really having a hard time pushing yourself out the door, it would be a good idea to look back at your mileage or training load over the last 5, 7 days. You can even look back and be like, I haven't walked that much this week, but the week before I did that 10K for charity or whatever it is. And what we espouse a lot is listen to your body.
The one, see, I have a problem with that. And I'm pretty good at listening to my body. And I think you and I are pretty in tune. But the reason that I have a problem with that is for me, and I'll only speak for myself, if I haven't walked in several days or I haven't worked out in several days, it feels much harder to get moving again. So I feel a little bit like maybe there's a window of time. And you're saying if you feel that way, then take a moment and reflect on what your physical activity load has been. But do you know what I'm saying? Like
A hundred, hundred percent.
when you're out of the routine, the zone, like when my body is like, oh, we don't have to go at all. How awesome is this? Where are the bonbons? So I can feel, if I'm really attuned, I can say, wow, that's been a lot of activity. I can use an active recovery day. But that also can feel like I'm just out of it and my body's body in motion, and I'm not a body in motion.
Well, this is active recovery, and in order to be active recovery, you have to have something to recover from. So, ergo, if you haven't been doing anything for 3, 4, 5 days, you don't need any recovery. It's the other thing. Do you feel me?
And I suppose since we have this nifty little app that helps us track our walking volume by day and by miles, I guess if I feel like I don't really feel like walking and my body feels really tired and I feel like maybe I need an active recovery day, and I look at my 99 Walks app and it says I haven't walked in 4 days, it's the other thing.
Yeah, but that being said, if you are doing active recovery, the word is active, and we sort of haven't even really described what constitutes active recovery.
Nope, we've talked all about whether or not you need it. And I'd like to
So,
just leave it there.
but let's talk about that a little
Okay.
bit. So, we did talk about sort of the range, but what falls into that range? So if you're
It depends what your 10 is.
correct, it depends what your 10 is, but let's talk about the person who really pushed themselves and did a 10K or maybe even a 5K walk, and that was pushing themselves. So what might be active recovery? So number one is a shorter walk, a stroll. Let's say that for that 10K, or let's say 5K walk, you pushed yourself and you walked at a 17-minute pace. And that's a pretty brisk walk. So for the active recovery, you go for a mile at a 20-minute pace. You know, very easy to carry on a conversation. And that's going to be some active recovery.
So basically, you can adjust a couple of the variables. You can adjust the distance. You can adjust the intensity.
And the duration, the length of it, that sort of corresponds with distance.
But right. In this context, it corresponds with distance, right? So duration, how long you go, and how hard you go.
Yes, 100%.
It's sort of that simple.
And definitely for active recovery, less hard. Right. by definition, you're going to be at the less hard end of the spectrum. So that's like the snail to cheetah scale.
And here's the thing about that I actually really love is taking a really leisurely stroll feels really good sometimes. And I think often when we move at that kind of pace, or we talk all the time about every mile matters, and even if you only have a few minutes, but to do it in the context of this is my active recovery and this is really good for me and I can really stop and smell the flowers. It's just lovely.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I never do that in the gym.
What's that?
I never do active recovery when I go into the gym. Like I never sort of give myself permission to just kind of be in the gym and take it easy and slow down the pace and move my body around, move some weights around.
Yeah.
For me, the gym is kind of all or nothing. But like an active recovery day, that just sounds really appealing.
Yeah.
Can I do that all the time?
No. Yeah.
So see what I'm looking for here?
Nope. And just as an aside, when you are sort of planning out your schedule, if assuming you're walking fairly regularly, you know, we're talking about high intensity days, and really what you want to be doing is 60 to 70 at moderate intensity.
What do you mean 60 to 70?
67 to 70% of your walks or your sessions at a moderate intensity, and 20, 30, whatever's left at a higher intensity. So as you
wait, so how many at an active recovery?
And then one at an active recovery. And then active recovery is sort of a separate category. So,
so let's work this out. Let's do this as far as like actual numbers, because this is super practical.
Let's say we're going to do
10 walks.
10 walks.
Right. So for every 10 walks.
All right. And we'll include active recovery in there?
Yes.
Okay. For every 10 walks, there should be 5 moderate intensity, 3 higher intensity, 2, let's call them lower intensity or active recovery. And if you follow that and mix that up over the course of the time, that is going to lead to the biggest adaptations, building bone, building muscle, being recovered, feeling good without ever feeling run down.
Do you do this?
I'm incorporating it more. I'm trying to dial back some of the intensity in my gym workouts a little bit, and also dial it up, but on a less frequent basis.
So do that again. So out of 10, five moderate,
three relatively higher intensity.
Higher intensity,
for you,
whatever that means for you.
And 2 lower intensity / active recovery.
So maybe that means for somebody who, say, is walking with a jetty pack, starting to walk with a jetty pack, and is acclimated to it, but it's not easy yet. So 5 walks without a pack, 3 walks a week with a pack.
Over like 2 weeks we're talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, 10 days. Right. Yeah. So for every 10 walks, 5 without a pack at your sort of usual intensity, 3 with a pack.
Yep.
And two, recovery.
Yep.
And then, of course, as you get stronger, all of those things go up.
Right. So of those five, maybe two of them are with a pack. Maybe one day a week you add load to the pack. You get an extra plate and put it in there. And then you still keep the two low-intensity active recovery walks in there.
Does the intensity of your active recovery increase?
It can, because the fitter you are, the more you can do and have your body recover.
Right. But active recovery for you would look different than active recovery for me, or a mile leisurely walk counts kind of for everybody? Because as long as your body is moving, it counts as active recovery. Or do you have to get to a certain level of intensity for it to count?
You do not have to get to a certain level of intensity for it to count. I think that any movement, this can be some light stretching. You know, you're not doing that yoga where you're holding the crane pose on one foot, you know, with your ear facing the moon for 3 minutes straight. You know, that's not active
yoga
recovery.
Is not Eric's thing. I don't even know where he pulled crane pose out of the air
from Kung Fu Panda.
Everything I know about yoga I learned in Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, which doesn't even have yoga in it. But so, you know, light yoga, light stretching,
I bet being in a pool would be good. Probably being in a pool is probably really good active recovery.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say swimming unless you're a really good swimmer, but just moving around in the pool, playing with your kids for that matter, can be active recovery. So I think there's a spectrum. Now, in my fitter days, like I could go for a 2 mile jog and that would still be active recovery for me. But again, it varies.
Goes back to the know thyself. But I this is not the most exciting conversation we've ever had in a podcast, and clearly not the funniest. But nevertheless, I think it's one of the most valuable because it's not a topic that we talk about a ton, certainly not as much as we should. We've been pushed a little bit on this by Coach Carey, who is such a big advocate of active recovery and has an active recovery class in the 99 Walks app. And I think as our community is becoming more aware of their body and more aware of how their body feels and adapts to movement and walking and exercise, this is such an important piece of the puzzle.
And I think it also, you know, people like streaks, they like to be consistent, and walking is actually good for your mood.
Really?
Yeah, and your brain and
what?
All that.
Come on.
Yeah. So I know for me particularly, not so much in a recovery concept, but if I happen to miss 2, 3, 4 days of movement, whether it's a pack walk or getting into the gym, my mood definitely responds, and not in a good way. So this active recovery walk can also keep your mood in check. So there's a lot of good here.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's a way to keep your streak. I'm sort of using air quotes, and I'm not a big fan of the streak, like the compulsion to keep a streak, but nevertheless, it does help motivate some people, and a solid reminder that a recovery walk keeps your streak going and doesn't tax your body the way some of our physical activity does. And that's a good thing.
Right. Because again, we want to good stress our body by walks and challenging effort. And then we want our body to recover and adapt. That's the whole secret, not so secret, as to how we get fitter.
5-3-2.
5-3-2. Yes. I was doing the math.
Math is hard.
Math is hard.
Adding up to 10 is challenging.
Yes.
I used to think that when I went out into nature and left my phone and earbuds behind and walked in silence, letting my mind go wherever it wanted, that I was doing a walking meditation. And then I met Yael Shai, and she taught me that there's so much more to a walking meditation. It was so incredible and insightful and expanded my world in such a way that I went to Yael and I said, will you work with us to create a program, 30 days, 30 walks, that could help introduce other people to the power of a walking meditation? Can we dismantle the idea that in order to meditate, you have to sit in a dimly lit room on a cushion? Can we create a meditation program for people who love to move? And so we did. Meet the Joyful Wanderer 30-day walking meditation app, which is available in the Apple Store and the Google Play Store right now.